This is the John Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, everyone, and we're still in 2021.
2 days.
And happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We will not be talking to you prior to 2022. So, happy New Year.
Happy. Merry.
If anyone ever gets tired of us doing that voice, don't tell us.
Don't
police my content.
There's a lot coming in 2022 for this podcast.
Is there?
Yeah.
Monica knows something I don't know.
I do, and I'm shaking in my chair just thinking about it. I'm wiggling.
She's wiggling in a chair.
Like a worm on a hook.
Maybe we'll have our first guest on in 2022. That would be nice.
That's a hope. That's a good goal.
That is a good goal.
I hope to have a live show in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
At the winery.
Yes. So if anyone is a California local.
Come through. Yeah, that's exciting. We'll do that. We'll learn how to record on our own. Yeah. So we don't have to bother Aaron.
Yeah.
The sound guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to have our first guest.
I would too. Who would it be?
Someone famous.
Okay.
So maybe we can get your voice teacher. You can get your voice teacher on.
Vicky Lewis. Monica and I have encountered my voiceover teacher from college twice in the past week. Randomly on a Grey's Anatomy episode we were watching, and she just appeared.
And she was like, hi.
She was getting a bunch of plastic surgery in the episode. And then second, in one of the movies, which I mean, obviously I didn't know as a child watching this movie that it was her because I hadn't met her yet. But yes, she's prominently featured in one of these films.
I don't know. The universe is like pushing us towards her.
The universe is pushing us towards Vicky Lewis.
Vicky!
You know her from playing Deb/Flo in Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. How does that voice go? It's like, who is Deb in Finding Nemo?
She's the one who sees her. She thinks the reflection of herself is her sister, Flo.
Oh my God. Hi, Flo.
I'm Deb. Yeah, that's her.
Amazing.
She was also famous in the 90s for being on some TV show called, I think it's called like News Radio or something. Yeah, she was on that.
Was she on The Fairly Odd Parents?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh.
But you know, who knows?
I thought she may or may not have been Wanda.
No, she's not Wanda. Oh. That would have been the first thing I said. She's Wanda on The Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, God. What a missed opportunity.
I know, honestly. Vicky, you'd do better.
I'm sure she auditioned for it.
Maybe. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Yeah, will
I could
we?
Ask her, but
Cosmo
I won't.
And Wanda. Cosmo and Wanda. Wanda and Cosmo. It doesn't work as well.
No, it doesn't.
Max and Ruby. Ruby and Max. I love that show.
I don't even remember that. Max was a monster, right?
No, you fucking idiot. Oh my God.
Oh, wait, they're bunnies. I was thinking of, I don't remember what the show is called, but it's that little girl with the big red hair. And then she has the monster friend who's big and yellow and has red spots.
Bro, Sesame Street?
No.
I fucking love Sesame Street.
I fucking love Sesame Street.
It's my jam.
I love Big Bird.
Big Bird. Sign me autograph.
Elmo.
And
we're back to Australia.
But yeah, so is it not Sesame Street? It's the show.
You know the one?
Death and all his friends? No.
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 It's the little girl. She has big, fluffy, curly red hair, and she wears like a safari hat. And she has like a little dress on, and she has a best friend who's a giant yellow horned monster with red spots.
Dude, I keep thinking that's Big Mouth. Oh my God.
I forget what the name is.
I forget.
I saw someone on TikTok go as them for Halloween and I was like, that is a deep cut reference I haven't thought of in 15 years.
Dude, all that's coming to my mind,
I have to Google,
is the Dora the Explorer spinoff, Diego. Go Diego, go. I think there was an animal like that in
there. Kid show about little girl and yellow monster with red dots. Maggie and the Ferocious Beast. Maggie. Hello and thank you.
Ew, what is he? Wait, why does he look exactly like Harry from Sex and the City? Like he looks.
But with horns. That's anti-Semitism, Monica.
No, I'm not talking. Oh my God. You guys.
You heard it here first. Maggie and the Ferocious Beast is children.
He just has the same bone structure and the same facial expressions. Okay,
he's just a human head on a giant animal.
That's what I'm saying.
You're correct. You're correct about that fact.
It's just his face looks the same.
We should have done that show for this, considering that is an animal show.
That's true. Maggie and the Ferocious Beast. Oh my God. I was also a big fan of Dragon Tales and also Barney and Friends.
I loved Barney. I never watched Dragon Tales. I know enough of it to know the first part of the theme song, the Dragon Tales, Dragon Tales, that part.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know fucking anything about the show itself.
I love Dragon Tales. Mostly my favorite thing about Barney was the film that they came out with the magic egg.
Yes.
Best movie ever.
The Barney VHS tapes is how I learned to use the VHS player.
Absolutely.
Because my mother was not always available to rewind it
for me. I had
me.
Every Barney VHS tape imaginable. I got them from all these yard sales around
yes,
town.
Bitch.
They were the best.
Rolling in Barney.
Oh my God.
And we'll be right back. Now back to the show.
Okay, Monica, today is a special episode.
Today is a special episode.
Do you know why it's a special episode?
I don't.
Because it's your birthday episode. Everyone's like, happy birthday, Monica. Happy birthday,
Monica. Wow.
Did you hear all the listeners?
Honestly, I didn't. They just sounded like a faint whisper.
Well, there's not many of them. I'm kidding.
We're big in Thailand.
Lots of Thai people. Huge in Thailand.
Huge. Big in Thailand. Big news in Thailand.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, so today is Monica's birthday episode. And our thing for birthdays kind of changes every year. But yeah. We just kind of let each other pick what we want.
Last year, I did movie musicals.
Yes.
And this year, Jessica did...
John Travolta. Which is now our top performing episode.
Shut the fuck up.
Let's see if your episode will trump mine.
No one wants to hear this. That's why we're doing it. Because it's my birthday and I say so.
Yeah,
so,
Monica decided that she wanted to do an episode on...
Animal actors. So if you've been a longtime listener, you yeah. know... that I'm obsessed with animal actors.
And really, we would have done Once Upon a Time in Hollywood if we hadn't already.
Because
that dog is the most important.
That dog deserves a Bow Wow Oscar. He really does.
Yes.
So good. It all started with my affinity for the animal actors show at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah.
Hollywood. And... it has resulted in me just loving every movie that doesn't have a CGI animal in it.
Yes, incredible.
I love that all of these movies that we're about to talk about mostly used real animals, like practical yeah. animals.
Practical animals.
Practical animals.
Yeah, no, it's super impressive. I wish we had more movies like this still.
Yeah, and the problem that I have with movies nowadays featuring actors or like mm-hmm. featuring animal yeah. actors is that they just use them as like a model or a stand-in and then right. actually use CGI for the rest of it.
For the movie.
Lady yeah. and the Tramp, those bitches aren't real.
No, but they is a touching film.
That is a touching film.
It was rather surprisingly beautiful, the newest
so
Lady
good.
And the Tramp.
The live action Lady and the
in
Tramp.
Quotes.
Lady and the Tramp. Some scenes, the animals were real.
And they were shelter dogs, which I think is the cutest
And they
part.
Were shelter dogs, which is the best, honestly, the best part.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started using CGI for most animals. And it makes yeah. me sad.
It does make me sad.
Because I think that's like a part of Hollywood that I actually really enjoy and also simultaneously feel really sad about is yeah. like the whole like animal trade within Hollywood. Of like animals being like real stars.
Yes.
Like people knowing their names.
Yes.
And like getting their paw prints and stuff.
Yeah.
But also them being treated so, like the other flip side of the coin is they were treated like so shit. Poorly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know what the set for Ace Ventura was like.
Yeah, if we could do it super ethically, I'm all for it because animals need jobs too.
Animals
guys.
Need that money. Give them what they want.
Give the people what they want.
So that's a little bit about like an animal actor is simply an animal who's an actor. So a little backstory on that. Uh-huh. And there was just this entire era where animals were just like the shit. They had a whole show at Universal Studios Hollywood. Please look it up. It was so good. One year, the parrot landed on me.
Oh, fuck.
I know.
You were chosen.
I know.
That's probably why you can talk to parrots now.
That's what I'm saying. So anyway, it started this weird affinity for animal actors. I have massive respect for them, especially all the dogs, because dogs have short-ass attention spans.
Yo, truth.
And all the birds, who also have short-ass attention
spans. I'm impressed by the mice, honestly.
Honestly, and we'll get to that in a second, but the amount of mice that were used for one of our films, yes. And all the mice
and
looking...
And the tricks that they had to do?
The tricks! Because insane. A lot of it... Because you can tell when it was CGI, because it was bad CGI.
Yeah, it was 1997.
So each time the mouse does something that is like, whoa, it's astonishing. I'm like laughing at myself that we're talking about this right now.
I'm not.
But you know what? It is what it is.
I'm excited.
What's our first movie?
Our first movie is Turner and Hooch. Came out in 1989, written by Dennis Shryack, Michael Blodgett, Daniel Petrie Jr., Jim Cash, and Jack Epps Jr. Directed by Roger Spottiswood.
God, the whole world wrote that movie.
Seriously. Detective Scott Turner, played by Tom Hanks, is an uptight, by-the-book police officer who hopes to leave his sleepy California town and work in the big city.
I'm sorry, but Sacramento. Sacramento is the alleged big city.
When his friend Amos, the proprietor of a junkyard, is killed, Turner reluctantly inherits the man's dog, Hooch. Realizing that the canine may be able to help him solve the murder case, Turner attempts to adjust to life with the big dog, resulting in much household destruction and unwelcome chaos.
Bro, this is a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. Also, I just want Disney to go back to whatever this time was.
This was a great
where we
time.
Could slit people's throats on in Disney
I
movies.
I know!
And talk about killing dogs
I
and
know.
Make sex jokes and see Tom Hanks in his underpants. Like... This was a Disney that I want to be a part of.
Because this was Touchstone Pictures, yeah?
Yeah.
See, I wish that they would just make... Because they brought back the movie as a television show starring Josh Peck of Drake and Josh fame. He's doing so much better than his brother, Drake Campana. Who fled to Mexico when he had legal problems.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm a Mexican pop star now.
And I'm like, no, you're not, like, Drake.
Yeah, you're white as fuck.
Drake Campana. That's for another day. But the point is that they rebooted Turner and Hooch.
They did.
For a full series on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Starring Josh Peck. And he has the charm of Tom Hanks.
Does he? I haven't watched it.
I have seen the series in the preparation.
The whole thing?
There weren't very many episodes. Oh. In preparation. It's quite delightful. It's great for this like new generation of people who like want to get to know, like, oh, that's a dog. Oh, that the dog's acting.
Oh, is it a real dog?
It's a real dog.
Oh, well, that's good.
It looks just like Hooch from the film, except he's not as manly.
I fucking love Hooch.
Oh, let's talk about Hooch. Let's talk about Hooch for a second.
Hooch is played by Beasley the dog.
And he is so good. The kind of dog is a doge de Bordeaux.
Oui. It is a French dog.
It's a French dog. He is a very muscular dog.
Yeah.
Very muscular.
The dog is ripped.
The breed has a lot of power.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a really interesting choice instead of the usual like German shepherd, the canine, if you will. Because usually they'll, you know, partner up a police officer with a German shepherd.
Yeah.
Still to this day, not sure why. Like, not sure why a border, like, you know, say a border collie might not be A police dog?
I don't know.
Maybe it has something to do with sniff sniff. Maybe it doesn't.
I think I saw an article the other day about how like there was a dog that graduated from police dog school that was like a mutt or something.
And oh my
it was
God.
Considered like an achievement.
Ugh, it is an achievement.
It is an achievement. I mean, that's just
justice for mutts, man. Justice for mutts. Adopt, don't chuck.
There's a lot in the police force that needs to be changed. First and foremost, the dogs.
Yes. First of all, abolished. Second of all, if we are going to have police officers, I think they should all be canines. 100%. Think about all of the bombs they can sniff out. These dogs.
True. Humans can't do shit.
Humans can't do anything.
We suck.
We stand there and try to solve the crime. But who solved the fucking crime? Hooch.
Hooch.
Hooch solved the crime in this movie. He was the one who identified the suspects.
True.
Identified the killer and mm-hmm. ultimately took them down. Mm-hmm. So you know what? More canines on the force.
I agree.
More canines on the force.
Honestly, this movie has the most climactic animal introduction scene I've ever seen. It was so good.
So good.
So good. So because, good. Okay, so let me set the scene for you. Tom Hanks, he's at the docks where this man lives. Amos.
Even further back, they're in a seaside town. Yes. So like think like Amityville from like Jaws, but in California.
Yes. So seaside town, he's at the docks looking for Amos, kind of unsure why, but he is. And he gets out of the car and he has a chocolate chip muffin in his hand. And he's like, I'm a muffin. And he's like sneaking forward and he's like, I'm a muffin, don't kill me. And then all of a sudden, this dog flies out.
And he's got like his score that is accompanying him. Yeah. It's like, brum, 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 brum. What is it?
I have no idea.
It's like one of those like songs that you play whenever like an athlete comes out.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he has like the most beautiful slow motion sequence I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
And his face like is just like
in the wind.
Flapping in the wind. His drool is going everywhere. Uh-huh. His eyes do the thing where they get really,
really
big.
Really big, yeah.
Because, you know, when dogs are in slow motion, their face is like morph into Play-Doh.
Yep, yep, yep.
And eventually this canine joins the force.
Yes.
Really unofficially, but he does.
He does. And he loves things with chocolate chips in them, which yes. is funny because dogs should not have chocolate.
Please do not feed your dog chocolate.
Don't do
in
it.
Any capacity, like in any form.
But Hooch loves it.
Hooch enjoys it. His owner, Amos, was the friend of Tom Hanks's character, Turner. Yes. And the reason why Turner was going down to the docks, to the junkyard, because uh-huh. he's like a junkyard man.
Right, yes, yes, yes.
Was to say good, because he was actually friends with this
oh,
man.
He's saying goodbye to him?
He's saying goodbye to him because he's going to the big city.
I missed that part. I was like, why are we at the docks?
Because they're like, it's like his only friend.
Got it.
Right, because he doesn't really have any friends except for the old people that he serves. That's why, right. That was like the woman at the beginning of the movie, uh-huh. the old lady who like gave him the muffins.
Right.
Scott Turner! I made you muffins. Thanks. I could just redo this whole movie for you.
You really
guys.
Could. I loved this movie. I had never seen it before.
This was like one of my favorite movies growing up. Like one of my favorite movies.
It's an incredible movie. It's shockingly hilarious. Tom Hanks, so funny.
So funny.
So funny.
My favorite scene is the scene where he's outside yelling at Hooch. And then gets locked out of his fucking house. And he's in his underwear. And his neighbor is like, shut up. And he's like, I'm going to tow your car. I'm a police officer. But he's just like out there in his underwear.
Yelling at who? Do you want a margarita?
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want?
I just love. Okay. So the amount of jokes in this movie about killing this dog is fucking hilarious.
Through the roof.
Through the roof. They talk about murdering this dog at every turn, but it's so funny.
It's funny because you know that dog is not going anywhere.
No, you know that dog is just a pure little angel.
You know that that dog has the upper hand.
Yes. And this dog has yokes. When he gets out, he brings back a girl dog.
I know.
It's so cute.
I think her name is like Camille or something.
I have no fucking idea.
Who knows?
I have no idea.
But a girl dog.
A lady dog.
A lady dog. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, am I right?
You know what I mean? What happens near Sacramento stays near Sacramento.
I'm still deceased that the big city is Sacramento.
I mean, it is the capital.
It is the capital.
Yeah. There are some things up there.
What's the capital of Arkansas?
I don't know. Little Rock. Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know that Little Rock is a city in Arkansas.
I have family who lives in Arkansas.
What's the capital of North Dakota?
I used to know all of this, and then I graduated high school.
Isn't it like Desmark? Bismarck.
Denmark.
Denmark. Denmark. It's Bismarck.
It's Bismarck. Anyway, back to Turner and Hooch.
Right.
I guess the last big point that I have is that I've never felt the emotional presence of an animal way I felt it in this film, and I'm not even kidding.
Dude, I'm not kidding either. Hooch is a brilliant actor.
But brilliant actor. Brilliant. This dog was 10 years old in real life. Can we talk about that? They got a senior animal to do this role. Amazing.
It was amazing. And he's a very large beast. Like, yes. We're not talking about a small dog. We're not talking about a like little tiny skinny dog. He's a massive animal, and he has a lot of personality, mm-hmm. and it shines through in this movie.
Yes. And Tom Hanks and this dog have incredible chemistry.
Off the charts chemistry.
I was reading in the trivia that when they wrapped the movie, and big spoiler alert, okay? So Hooch dies. Very yes. sad.
He dies on the job.
Yeah, he dies on the job because he's saving everyone.
Yes.
Rip. But apparently when they shot the dying scene, Tom Hanks was crying because he had bonded so much with the dog.
Oh.
I was like, that's so sweet.
I wish Tom would have like kept the dog or something.
I know, that'd but have been cute. Beasley had an owner.
That's true.
No.
Making that shmoney off of Turner and Hooch.
Making that shmoney.
I've always wanted to shadow an animal wrangler for the day.
Do it.
Well,
let's have one on. If any of you are an animal wrangler, DM us.
DM us. I want to talk to you. Yeah. I want to know what it's like to wrangle.
Just play with your dog. You'll get it.
Oh, that's how you wrangle?
Yeah, that's how you wrangle them.
I've always thought that it takes more skill.
Well,
okay.
It's clearly a very easy job, Monica.
Clearly.
Obviously.
This is a pretty, I will say, I don't know that you should watch this movie with your kids. Like, I know I watched it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty dark and raunchy movie.
Yeah, multiple people get murdered.
There are so many, like, sexual innuendos in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multiple people get murdered. They show the murders on screen.
Yeah.
And Scott Turner, a.k.a. Tom Hanks, AKA main guy in this movie, is like constantly yelling that he's gonna kill this dog.
He is, but on the flip side of that coin, he has incredible emotional awareness when it comes to him and Mayor Winningham, the lady that he's courting.
The lady vet.
He just says whatever he feels to her. And I was like, this is a good model for young men. Just say what you mean.
Say what you mean.
And his whole speech, the whole scene with the where he's talking about the lasagna, where he's like, and I know an Italian place and it doesn't have great lasagna, but it's good.
It's good.
It's good lasagna. It's so funny.
It's really good. The script is toy.
It's toy.
It's crazy because like 17 people wrote it.
Yeah, maybe but that's why it's toy.
It's a toy-desk script. And yeah, so basically this movie has two incredible leads, and it is very rightly called Turner and Hooch because Hooch, aka Beasley, is a massive presence in this film. And he makes the film iconic.
Yes, he does.
He is the upper hand in the Tom Hanks Beasley bubble.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
And I love him.
Yeah. I will say that this movie makes me want to seek justice for animal actors because they're always listed last on IMDb.
Why are they listed
even
last?
Even if they're the star of the movie.
He's the star of the movie.
It's literally called Turner and Hooch, and yet on fucking IMDb, Hooch is last on the cast list.
That is ridiculous. They don't even name the mice.
No.
In the next movie.
The last movie.
The last movie. They don't fucking name the mice.
No, they don't. I want names. Damn it.
Give me names. Give me credits. I just don't understand. Like, I know that animals don't understand English, but it makes me feel sad that we can't give credit where credit is due.
I know, me too.
Just ridiculous.
It makes me sad that you can't pay them directly and they can't spend their own money.
I wish they could spend their own money. I wish they could participate in capitalism.
Yeah.
Alone.
Monica?
See.
Tell me about the next film.
Oh, will I?
You will.
Okay, I'm just going to preface this by saying I know I'm saying it wrong. I'm trying to say it right. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. 101 Dalmatians came out in 1996.
Wait. Let's pause. And you can leave all of this in, Aaron. Monica, say doll.
Dalmatians. Matians.
Now put it together. Dalmatians.
Dalmatians.
Good job.
Okay.
You said it right.
Thank you.
Now let's say it wrong.
Written
again.
By John Hughes. Based on the book, The 101 Dalmatians.
No. You got the N in there.
No, so. I just... No. I said it.
There was an N.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was. Look at Aaron's face. He doesn't lie.
Okay, fine.
It's okay. It's just your quirk.
The 101 Dalmatians.
Good job.
Okay.
That definitely sounds better and easier than Dalmatians.
By Dodie Smith, directed by Stephen Herrick. The dastardly Cruella de Vil, played by the one and only Glenn Close.
Fucking Glenn Close.
Of all people. Chances upon a litter of cute Dalmatian puppies and decides that their skins will make her the perfect new coat. After she sends two hapless heavies to steal the dogs, it is up to parents Pongo and Purdy to stage a daring rescue. Yes. Joining them for the adventure are their human owners, Jeff Daniels and Jolie Richardson, and a host of guest animals, including a cheeky raccoon and a helpful horse.
Helpful horse.
Yes.
I
like the alliteration.
Helpful horse. I like the cheeky raccoon specifically because he puts on a hat.
And he looks iconic.
He looks incredible.
So good. Like, I wish I had just a picture of this raccoon in the red hat.
He looks better in the red hat than Glenn Close does.
He really does.
You know?
Oh, what an icon.
What an icon.
I chose this movie because this is the most Dalmatians I've ever seen in a movie.
And that's it.
And that's the reason. Another movie that I watched endlessly.
Yes, as a child.
As a youth. and it was just delightful. Like, I watched this movie before I watched the animated version. Oh. Like, I actually had never seen the animated version up until we went to go see Cruella.
Wow.
Starring Emma Stone. And then in the car, I was like, what's this based on? And I like...
You had never seen 101 Dalmatians?
No, wow. I had never. Just this live action movie.
Oh my God.
I had the VHS tape of this movie.
You fucking poser.
What? This is arguably the better movie. Because yes. I watched the other one. The other one has like no plot.
I mean, the animated one it's the same plot, but...
But for some reason, it feels like nothing's happening.
In the animated one, tell me if I'm wrong, but because I genuinely can't remember. Did Pongo and Perdita have all 99 puppies in the animated one? Or was it the same as in this one where she had like 15 and then the rest get rescued later?
It's the same. Right? It's the same thing. She's okay. Incapable of having 101 Dalmatians.
I mean, a lot of things happen in Disney movies that are incapable.
Well, she really is incapable of having 101 Dalmatians. First of all, 15 dogs is a lot of dogs. 15
puppies is a lot of puppies.
Well, really, it's 17, right? Because it's the 15 puppies and the two parents.
Well, yes.
So imagine owning 7. Is that even legal? Can you own 17 dogs?
I think you're technically not allowed to have more than 5. Like, technically, that unless you like right. Register them,
that feels right.
Under some special thing.
I know in California, you're not allowed to have like more than 3, and then like beyond 3, you have to have like special permissions or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like owning animals is getting considerably harder, and I'm kind of appreciating it.
I appreciate it, but I also it's a double edged sword because there's so many animals in shelters, especially kill shelters, and you're just like, well, if people aren't allowed to adopt them, you know,
it's true. I got Carrie from a local animal shelter called Wagmore Pets in Studio City. If you're looking for a dog and you're going through a breeder, I would highly recommend you check out Wagmore Pets first. Yeah. They tend to get all of the breeds that, you know, people like, but you know, a lot of quarantine dogs were had and then had nots. It's very sad.
We're just talking about this as a PSA so you all go adopt an animal.
Yeah, please go. Honestly, if someone out there adopts an animal because of this podcast episode, that will make my day.
It would make my day.
It would make my day.
Yeah.
Go adopt an animal if you're ready for one. A snake, an iguana, perhaps really a dog. Anything. Really any animal.
You except get a cat.
Honestly, betta fish don't need love. There's no way that, like, if you get a betta fish, like, you're not, a betta fish is not a pet.
It won't love you.
It won't love you.
It'll be there.
It's incapable of love. But I mean, I guess if you...
You could go adopt a cheeky raccoon.
You could adopt a cheeky raccoon.
Or a helpful horse.
Or perhaps a ferret. I hear that
they're not legal in California.
They're not?
No, you have to have special permits.
Is it not them. So then is it weasels that you can get at Petco or whatever?
I think you can... I don't think you can get weasels.
I just know that at Petco... I was at Petco getting supplies for my dog, Carrie. Uh-huh. Whose breed eludes me. she's a mutt. She's a rescue. I saw animals that looked like little weasels. Maybe Weird. They were guinea pigs.
They might have been guinea pigs.
I don't know.
See, you can get guinea pigs at the store. They sell like ferret food and stuff at Petco, but I think it's because people have them. You just have to have like a permit to get one.
Wow.
Yeah.
This whole time that I thought that like people owned ferrets like casually.
I mean, I might be wrong. Very possible.
Okay. Can you own an opossum?
I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to look this up.
I have a lot of questions.
I have a lot of questions. But the point is, no, you can't own 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, that would be hard.
That would be very difficult.
Unless you had a giant mansion with acres and acres like they get at
We're
the
talking
end.
Like massive. Like massive. If you, like 1 acre per dog.
In a state, really. In a state.
In a study. Like, not even the kind of money that you get from, like, National Treasure. Like, right. You know, because they only got, like, a few million dollars.
You need, like,
dollars.
Succession money.
You need, like, succession money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, multiple homes in Europe.
Yeah.
Penthouse in New York City.
Private jet.
A
helicopter.
Greg. Everything.
A, Greg. A cousin named Greg.
A cousin named Greg. The whole shebang.
You need to own the news to have 101 dogs.
You need to literally own America to have 101 dogs. But anyway, the dogs in this movie, honestly, all the animals in this movie, because obviously it's not just the dogs. It's not just the dog. It's not just the spotted dogs.
You can say Dalmatians.
It's not just the spotted animals, but it is
spotted
also
dog.
It's also the stray dogs and like the other dogs from the other homes that help try and locate these pups.
Yes, there's pigs in this movie.
Pigs in this movie. Obviously, there's a horse, the raccoon. Ugh, an endless array of animals, all just like talking to each other, trying to like communicate and find these puppies that were taken by these goons.
That were taken by the father of the Weasley family.
Yes.
And Dr. House.
And Dr. House. From House MD.
They stole the puppies.
What's his name? Like Hugh Laurie?
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Taken by Hugh Laurie and the Weasley dad.
And Arthur Weasley.
And Arthur
Isn't
Weasley.
Isn't that his name? Arthur? Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. All for Glenn Close, who... Incredible Cruella de Vil. Honestly, okay, for a Disney film,
this is
produced
dork.
By Disney,
this
not just, you know.
Dork. She talks right off the bat about, like, killing animals.
This is a shockingly violent Disney film.
Violent!
She skins animals. There's, like, the whole setup is that, like, this huge tiger in the zoo.
More specifically, the Siberian tiger, like, the white tiger with the black stripes.
Has gone missing, or, like, been killed, and... They're like, who did it? And then later you see her pull its fucking skin out of a box and be like, you beautiful animal. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's so
horrifying.
Bad. Obviously, it's a fake skin.
Yes. I would fucking
It's a
hope.
Prop. I'm choosing to believe that. Yeah. I'm choosing to believe that it's a fucking prop and not that they skinned an animal alive. An endangered animal. I think at this point, an extinct animal.
Yeah, probably.
It's just like, it's just one of those things where I'm watching this and I'm like, what the fuck, Disney?
Yeah, Cruella de Vil is awful.
She's off the chain.
She's horrifying.
She's off her rocker. She really is.
I don't like that bitch.
A big part of why I love this character so much is because uh-huh. she's so over the top and it works.
Yeah.
Because there are like villains out there who are over the top, but they come off as like incredibly cheesy.
Right.
And for whatever reason, this works really well.
She's also someone that like I know we had the Cruella movie that went through her whole backstory.
Oh God.
She's so, I mean, to be fair, I really liked the Cruella movie. Shockingly good film.
I loved the costumes and I loved the soundtrack.
You don't like Emma Stone.
I don't like Emma Stone.
I know you don't. I liked the movie, but that's just me.
I wish it was like Tessa Thompson or something as Cruella de Vil.
Sure.
It would have been fun.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
But I like in this movie that despite her being insane, like, I don't know, Glenn Close makes me not give a shit why Cruella is the way she is. You just kind of accept her and you're like, she crazy.
You literally accept her as as she is chewing on her fucking long ass cigarette holder.
I know. And my favorite part about her costumes is that she has acrylic nails on the outside of all of her gloves.
It's so ridiculous.
It's the best.
She has like these black.
I aspire to that.
Black nails. And also like her wig is so bad and I love it.
It's so good.
It's so bad. It's good. Like you can tell it's a fake wig. Like you can tell it's fake. Like right off the bat. And also the back is like so insane, which is why they don't film much of like the back of her head, because it just looks ridiculous. You can see like the netting. It is so bad. But for some reason, she fucking rocks it. I don't get it.
She crushes it. Every outfit she wears in this movie, I impeccable.
I want the confidence of Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil in this movie.
But you also have to really capture like the craze in her eyes.
Yes. And the fact that she just like widens her mouth so much movie. So big just for this character, because she makes her lips incredibly flat.
Yes.
In order to appear like fucking insane. And she's wearing this bright red, like horrific lipstick. It's beautiful.
It's so good.
She's just such a deliciously cruel character.
Oh, I love Cruella de Vil.
Oh,
what
God.
A good villain.
That's such an incredible villain
in a movie with an incredible this is really an animal ensemble film.
It really is. And they're all real.
Yes.
And for the most part, for the beginning of the movie, you only really see the spotted dogs. I'm so scared to say it again.
Just say it.
You really only see the Dalmatians when it's Pongo and Perdita mm-hmm. who like meet on the street, yes. basically.
And fall in love.
And they fall in love. And they have this wedding yes. that I can't get out of my head where they like wed off to the side of the main couple's wedding.
Yes.
And like all of the dogs are there. Like we're talking like there's 100 dogs on this lawn and they're all dressed to the fucking nines. And Pongo and Perdita are like saying their vows.
Listen, they
like,
do it differently telepathically. In England, that's all I can
like,
say.
Like telepathically, they're saying their vows because obviously they don't talk in this movie.
Obviously.
But it is just chef's
kiss. It's perfection.
Kiss. It's so good.
This is a perfect movie.
It is a perfect movie. Also, Pongo is the man of the house.
Pongo is manly. He's also kind of beefy.
He's super beefy. He's super big.
Aaron's this episode is unhinged.
Unhinged. It chose chaos. I love that he has his own like button to unlock the door.
Yes.
He like runs up to the door, unlocks it.
He has needs.
He gets what he wants is all I'm trying to say. And I love that in a dog.
I know. I love it too.
He has such personality. All of the dogs in this movie are so beautiful.
Yes.
And I am shocked that they were able to maintain the puppies their age throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
If you read anything about this movie, like the biggest challenge was finding that many Dalmatian puppies. Mm-hmm. And they did it and it's amazing.
And they fucking did it.
They fucking did it.
You see a sea of white and black.
It's beautiful.
White. And black spots.
I mean, no wonder Cruella wanted them. They're real cute.
Oh my God, when she fucking looked at like the puppies when they were freshly born and she was like, mongrels.
No spots.
No spots. And Anita was like,
but Cruella, they'll grow into the spots later.
And she's like, oh, if you're sure.
I'll take the lot. I want all of them.
Which, by the way.
What?
She was willing to pay $7,500 for 15 puppies.
Yeah, that would have been like the cost of one puppy.
Of those puppies cost that much money. Yeah. Cruella.
Yeah.
You're lowballing them.
It was the 90s. Inflation. Dog inflation.
Dog inflation. You know, if you could have any dog,
yeah,
what dog breed would you get?
I want a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
Wow. Yeah. My nephew is a King Charles Cavalier poodle mix.
Yes. Malibu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Malibu.
I love King Charles Cavaliers.
They're something else.
They're the ones in fucking Sex and the City when she has Elizabeth Taylor, the dog.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Taylor, the dog.
I think they're so cute. I love their little ears.
What happened to Elizabeth Taylor? Did she die?
I mean, she obviously died, but remember they have the bulldog named Richard Burton now?
I know, but
it's a great.
What I'm saying is, so they got that dog because Elizabeth Taylor died.
I mean, she must have. It's been like 15 years.
How long do those dogs live?
Not that long.
Damn, that sucks. Here I am thinking that she like got rid of it.
Well, she was already like 5 years old when she got her.
That's true, because she did just like swipe her from the best in show.
So where are the puppies?
Where are the puppies?
And just like that, writers, I need answers to a lot of things. Honestly,
I want to know. I want to know. Didn't she have like her period at the dog show?
Yeah. That's why she couldn't. Yeah.
What an episode.
I know.
What an episode. Oh my god. But yeah, this is a fantastic, fantastic film.
Agree.
If I could adopt any breed of animal, it would be a Vizsla.
I don't even know what that is.
They look them up. They are the lankiest.
How do you honestly spell that?
It's either, I would either want a Vizsla or an Afghan hound.
How do you spell Vizsla?
S-L-A. Yeah.
Vizsla.
Vizsla.
Oh, those are cute.
Aren't they?
Those are real cute.
Adorable.
They're Hungarian.
They are.
What?
They hail from Hungary.
Oh, is Vizsla a family dog? How cute.
Vizslas have great personalities.
They look so sweet.
They are sweet, and they have giant ears. And I appreciate that.
You know who else has giant ears?
Who?
The stars of the next movie.
Oh my god, yes. So this next movie
is perfect.
A masterpiece. Take perfect. It away. Okay. Take it away.
The next movie, the final film, is Mouse Hunt. Came out in 1997, written by Adam Rifkin, directed by Gore Verbinski. When their string magnet father, Rudolph Smuts, dies, brothers Ernie, played by Nathan Lane, and Lars, played by Lee Evans, move into his decrepit mansion. Struggling to keep a promise to never sell the now unprofitable string factory, the brothers decide that restoring the old house, which is the last built by a famous architect, could bring them a great deal of money. But during their restoration attempts, Ernie and Lars are continually frustrated by a malicious mouse that keeps destroying their efforts.
Dude. Okay, first things first, the premise for this movie is too much.
It's insane.
It's like, it's whack. It's so wacky.
The events leading up to the climax of this movie, insane. The first scene is just immediately seeing a dead
body. A dead.
Fly through the air. And then seconds after that, you see a man choke on a cockroach and then die. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So this is what family films were in the 90s.
Well, here's the thing. This was directed by the director of, I think, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
Oh. It has the same sensibilities.
Honestly, this movie kind of feels like live action Looney Tunes. Like,
it does.
The amount of like physically violent yet not harmful comedy.
Slapstick
like
comedy.
Like the gags in this.
Yeah.
They don't fucking make movies like this anymore. The amount of physical gags in this, it's amazing.
It's so good.
Rango.
He also directed Rango.
I've never seen Rango.
Oh, you gotta see Rango.
I know.
Rango.
I've seen the first like 15 minutes of it multiple times.
Dude, it's so good.
Okay, I'll watch it.
It's honestly Johnny Depp's best film. And you can't tell me otherwise because they like... He like did all of the movements for the chameleon. It's like, what's it called?
Motion capture?
Mocap.
Yeah.
He wore all the balls.
He wore the balls, everyone.
He wore the tight suit and the little, like the balls and like moved around.
He did his Andy Serkis.
He did.
They really should call it circusing at this point.
Didn't Andy Serkis direct a Jungle Book movie that was like not good?
I don't know.
It came out on Netflix. Do you remember? It came out on Netflix. Like,
I remember the live action Jungle Book that Jon Favreau did.
No. That is very different. This one was called like Mowgli.
Oh,
and he had like a deal, I think, with Netflix, and like released it on Netflix.
Oh, that's sad for him.
It was not good.
It's poor Andy Serkis.
I think there's a sequel coming.
Oh, good.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling.
She has a feeling.
If there isn't,
Sue.
That's fine. That's fine.
Back to Mouse Hunt.
Oh my God. First of all, a string empire.
A string empire that is single-handedly brought down and then in a way resurrected. Restored,
yes.
By a mouse.
By one singular mouse.
That is actually played by 60 mice.
So many mice.
Doing tricks.
Doing stunts.
This is a stunt mouse.
All of these mice did their own stunts.
Yeah. Most of the movie, I would say, is practical.
Practical animals.
Yeah, practical animals. It's kind of insane. This mouse is the cutest fucking mouse I've ever seen.
So cute. They got like a short little ass mouse.
He has a little bedroom where he stares at a little picture of Hawaii.
He sleeps in like a little, I think, Altoids can or something.
Yes, like a sewing box or some shit. I don't know.
Little container.
He lays in there and he stares at his little poster of Hawaii and he dreams of a tropical life that he can't have because he's living in this fucking mansion.
Because it's his casa. That he's the groundskeeper. He has to keep it up.
And he is single-handedly taking down these two men. It is brilliant. And the thing I love is that the whole time you're rooting for the fucking mouse. You're just kill him.
The filmmakers really want you to root for the fucking mouse.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, fuck these guys. You want the mouse to live.
Well, because the two guys suck. They're mean.
They're really mean. Also, their priorities are so fucked up. And like, you're thinking to yourself, where are their families? Like, where's the rest of their family holding them accountable to this bullshit?
Well, I guess nowhere. I guess they don't have families because the one guy, Lars, he has April, his evil wife, played by my voiceover teacher.
Oh my God. Yes. Back to your voiceover teacher.
Played by my voiceover teacher.
Keeps putting on our radar.
They keep doing it.
Oh my God. She is brilliant in this,
by the way.
She's very funny. She plays like this gold digging, like.
Yeah.
Ho. It's so good. She's truly that bitch in this movie.
She is that bitch.
And then she runs off with the Texas man.
I know, with the yeehaw boy.
With the yeehaw man who has like $22 million to spend on a house. I can't believe it.
Like,
hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns. He probably went to UT.
He probably did go to UT. And now he's like a fucking multimillionaire.
Yes, correct.
Dude, how do you spend $22 million on a house? That's like not even move it. Like you have to spend millions more dollars on like a renovation. How does that happen?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess if you were buying like a Frank Lloyd Wright or something, which is kind of the idea, is that it's the last house made by this famous architect. And so they're trying to sell it for millions and millions of dollars. But yeah. I guess that's how you do it. Also, I was looking at like insane realty. Like, do you follow those like weird, like Zillow Instagram accounts where it shows you like the most expensive homes?
No, I don't want to depress myself every day. Thank you.
I follow one, and they showed like a few days ago a home in New York that is $50 million.
Stop. It's a Succession home.
Yeah, it is a Succession home. It's insane.
That's so crazy.
These places exist and it's kind of fucking insane.
It's kind of crazy, the wealth.
This mouse is anti-McMansion.
Yes. Anti-McMansion, anti-establishment.
Yes, yes. He dreams of a quieter lifestyle on the islands. He's an
anarchist. This mouse is an anarchist.
He's also an entrepreneur because he gives them the idea for the business that saves them in the end.
The string cheese business.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which I find to be hilarious. How is that supposed to be easy to eat?
I don't know.
It's not. You have to unravel it to eat it.
Well, Monica, I guess you would have to try it now, wouldn't you? Mouse Hunt is an insane film. And I think everyone needs to watch it.
It's really difficult to describe because it's that one flavor of comedy that is too much and also not enough.
It's, yeah, like it really, is all reliant on the physical, like, comedy of it, and also the setup of, like, they try and set something up to kill the mouse, and then the mouse, you see him sabotage it, and then they, like, almost like they, like, tip the domino to make everything fall, and then you watch chaos ensue. It's great.
The mouse, puts Christopher Walken in the hospital.
Yeah, also Christopher Walken is in this fucking movie as an exterminator.
As, like, one of those, like, really, like, detail-oriented exterminators.
Who got Christopher Walken to do Mouse Hunt?
I don't know.
That's all I want to know. It's just so funny. And then the fucking cat that's in this movie, Cat-Zilla. Also hilarious.
Catzilla. So good. Oh my God, so good. All of the animals in this movie, aka all the mice, are so good.
All the mice, that cat, so good. Also, I just really like how stylized this movie is.
It's so good.
Because it's in some, like, vague time period.
It's in some that's, like, both Victorian and also modern.
Yes. There's a lot going on.
Like, the funeral scene was incredibly Victorian, and, like, the house is so old, and, like, they're dressed from some ancient time
period. You know what it reminded me of,
what?
Weirdly, is the aesthetic of The Shape of Water.
Yes! Dude, I think Guillermo must have, like...
He would have been like, Mouse Hunt.
He must have consulted. You know what?
That was on his mood board.
Mouse Hunt. Also, like, why is the poster, like, the McDonald's sign?
I have no idea.
I'm so... This movie...
Maybe they had a partnership for promotion.
This movie keeps me up at night. Like, I'm like, what? I have so many questions.
Little did we know that Monica's anxiety stems solely from contemplating the plot of Mouse Hunt 24/7.
I just have so many questions. I'm just like...
They're just like, is the mouse the spiritual embodiment of the father trying to bring his sons together? We don't know. Also, the man who plays the dad, fucking hilarious.
It's so funny.
At the beginning, he's just like, no, I want you to share it.
He's like so skinty in his bed. He's like,
he's fully dying.
He's a Muppet.
No, I want you to share it.
He's a Muppet. He's literally...
Who is that man? I need to look up that actor.
A dying Muppet. I love the gag of his painting constantly watching over
and
everything.
And changing expression every time. It's so good.
Like when one of the brothers, I think Ernie? Yeah. Lars? I don't
Lars
know.
Lars is the not Nathan Lane.
Whatever. Yeah. Lars. When Lars is in there with April and they're shagging, the painting's facial expression goes from like a... frown to like a smirk.
I know, it's so fucking
it's so
silly.
Fucking stupid. I love it so much.
Go watch
much.
Mouse Hunt, everyone.
Please go watch it.
It's on HBO Max, shockingly.
It is oddly on HBO Max. Yeah you're right.
I think this is the first episode in forever where
everything
was available. Was available to stream.
Everything was available. Forgot to say, but Turner and Hooch is on Disney Plus. Don't mistake it for the series. It's a film.
And so is 101 Dalmatians. And then this is on HBO Max.
Yes. So please go watch them while
they're all
still
under
there.
2 hours.
They're all, and that's the other thing.
That's why animal movies are amazing.
They're so good.
Yeah.
All these movies are under 2 hours. They're such delightful little popcorn films.
I know. They're so good.
I just adore all of these animals.
If you watch these, you'll really understand who Monica is.
You'll really get me. And I just, my eye just gets drawn to the quadrupeds, you know?
I understand.
I want them to succeed.
They're getting that money.
God bless them. God bless them.
Well, Monica.
Yes.
What have you dabbled in?
Well, since the last time I saw you, I have dabbled in organization.
Mm.
At the end of the year, in the like 5 days between like Christmas and New Year's, I will like declutter my house.
Right.
So I've gotten rid of so much stuff.
Okay.
I didn't know that I own that much stuff, but I guess I do.
Girl, you do.
I owned so much stuff.
So much.
I don't even know where I get it all. I have like so much art in frames that's just like in my closet now.
Gotta hang that shit.
When? How?
Who?
Every time I try to hang something, it like falls off the wall.
Okay, well, I think you need a task rabbit.
I think I do, but then I'm like, do I need a task rabbit?
I think so.
Maybe I do. But anyway, I finished like setting up my office space. Mm-hmm. It looks great now.
That's exciting.
Maybe I'll shore you.
Yeah.
So you can be jealous of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I've been dabbling in. That end of year declutter.
Hell yeah.
You know, the thing that everyone does. I went through all my inboxes.
Ooh.
My inbox is at zero like every day now, yes. Which is like unheard of for me.
That's amazing.
I was literally at 27,000.
Holy emails. Shit, Monica.
It took me 6 days.
I clean out my inbox daily because I'm anal about it.
I know, but like it took me 6 days.
Yeah, that's a long fucking time.
That's what I did while I was recovering.
Wow.
I just, because it was mindless, I just deleted emails.
That's amazing.
I just went click, 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 click.
You're like, an icon.
It was pretty, I will say, like if you need someone to clean out your inbox, Monica. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at it.
I love this.
So what have you dabbled in?
I was cleaning out my drawers because when I, I have too much clothing. And
I also have too much clothing.
Simply too much. And when I was packing my bag to go to my mom's for Christmas, there was a bunch of clothes I was looking for that I hadn't worn forever because it's not cold here that often.
That's true.
So I was trying to find all my warm stuff. And in the process, totally dismantled the drawers that were already so full, I could barely close them. And I was like, you know what? I need to go through all of this stuff. So before I went to my mom's for like 3 days, I pulled everything out of the drawer and just put it on the ground so that when I got home, I would have to go through
it. You Marie Kondo'd yourself.
Yeah. So I had to go through all of my clothes. And I did this like 6 months ago, but I didn't purge enough.
I did this recently,
and so
remember?
I went through again and like really, I was like really cutthroat with myself. And I was like, you don't wear this. Get rid of it.
That's really hard for me with clothes.
It's hard. It was really hard, but I did it. I cleaned out 2 giant drawers. I'm sure there's still stuff in there. I know there's still stuff in there that I don't wear as much as I should in order to keep it, but I'm being gentle with myself.
That's so crazy. See, the thing with me is like, I'm a consumer.
She's a consumer.
I have so much clothes,
yeah.
But like so much of it doesn't fit me.
Right.
But I keep it because I'm like, but I spent so much money on these.
Yeah.
I have to keep it.
Yeah. That's when you sell it on Poshmark.
Well, I have to.
I told you I would help you with Poshmark.
The kids have to help me figure out Poshmark.
It's so easy.
I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it.
I'll help you. It's really nice.
What are you going to do?
Make some extra cheddar.
Cheddar, for like the mouse.
Well, Monica, I hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Thank you. I'll be spending it here at my house.
We will celebrate.
Oi.
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to write me a murder mystery, I'll pay you.
Yeah, because we're going to have a party for Monica.
Yeah, it's going to be a murder mystery. It's going to be Foon.
Foon.
It's going to be Knives Out themed. But
yeah, agreed.
But obviously, it's not Knives Out, because why would we?
No, we're not going to do the same thing. We would know who the murderer
is. We would know who it is.
Yeah.
What do you take me for? A fool?
Ransom?
A fool? No. Ransom? Dinner? Food? To eat? Oh, man.
Oh, well, on that note,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau.
Bye, Monica, and happy birthday.
Bye, Jessica. Thank you. Don't forget to stan your favorite animal actor today.
I will not.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.